Africa.
And I will bless you, and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abram went as God had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people that they had acquired in Haran, and they set out to go to the land of Canaan. And when they came to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land to the place at Shechem, to the oak of Moreh. And at the time the Canaanites were in the land. And when the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built there an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. And from there he moved to the hill country on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed on, still going through the Negev. Now there was famine in the land, and so Abram went down to Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was severe in the land. And when he was about to enter Egypt, he said to Sarai his wife, "I know that you are a woman beautiful in appearance. And when the Egyptians see you, they will say, 'This is his wife,' and then they will kill me. But they will let you live. Say you are my sister, that it may go well with me because of you, and that my life may be spared for your sake." And when Abram entered Egypt, the Egyptians saw that the woman was very beautiful. And when the princes of Pharaoh saw her, they praised her to Pharaoh. And the woman was taken into the Pharaoh's house, and for her sake he dealt well with Abram. And he had sheep, oxen, male donkeys, male servants, female servants, female donkeys and camels. But the Lord afflicted Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife. And so Pharaoh called Abram and said, "What is this that you have done to me? Why did you not tell me that she was your wife? Why did you say she is my sister so that I took her for my wife? Now, then, here is your wife. Take her and go." And Pharaoh gave men orders concerning him, and they sent him away with his wife and all he had. And chapter 13, verse 1. And so Abram went up from Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him to the Negev. Now Abram was very rich in livestock, in silver and in gold. And he journeyed on from the Negev as far as Bethel, to the place where the tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and Ai, to the place where he had made an altar at first. And there Abraham called upon the name of the Lord. Just so far. Let us pray. Gracious Father, oh Lord, we pray that you this morning open our hearts to this wonderful life-giving word that you've so graciously left with us. And Lord, as we meet as your children, may we grow in you and closer toward your likeness. May you minister to our hearts through this word this morning, Lord. And may you bless our time together as we seek to worship you, Lord. We thank you and we honor you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, my dear brothers and sisters, we know this passage of Scripture so well. But there are so many jewels in this passage that we can learn from. You know, so often we see the fields of the Scripture, the wonderful meadows with the long grass, the luscious life-giving grass. But so often
We don't move the grass away and start picking the jewels that are at the root level.
And in this passage, it's no different. Abraham, we know that he was righteous and he was a man of God and he done well and he honored God. But right within this passage of Scripture, we see that this man of faith stumbled. And we can take some lessons from this. What we discover through the life of Abraham is the journey of faith that pours out of our spiritual walk with our Heavenly Father. Many refer to Abraham as the father of our faith. Romans 4 reveals that Abraham was strong in faith. And throughout the Bible, Abraham is the primary example of biblical faith. But Abraham had to grow in his faith. He needed to be built up in his faith. Just as every child of God, every born again, every regenerated Christian must grow in their faith as well. And hence, as we look briefly into the life of Abraham, we discover that God has lessons in this passage concerning our faithfulness. So what is biblical faith? There are all sorts of nonsense out there that you can receive as faith. In fact, Hebrews 11 is, anyone wanting to know about faith would really take that passage apart. But I want to say to you this morning, my dear brothers and sisters and friends, Hebrews 11 is an example or the manifestation of what of faithful ones. It's the result of faith. So, what is faith? What is biblical faith? Faith is having a word from God, believing what God has said, and acting on what God has said. That is biblical faith. And I'm often asked by folks, Pastor, how can I grow in my faith? Well, really, it's very simple, my dear brothers and sisters and friends. The answer is simply to spend more time in your Bible. To spend time in your Bible, and you will grow in your faith. Because faith is taking God at His word. That is what biblical faith is. In the text before us, we're introduced to Abram or Abraham in the beginning of his journey in faith. We also discover through Abram's life the maturing of his faith. Through this example, we can learn what faith is and how to avoid many of the pitfalls that will come over our lives as we learn to respond in faith and faithfulness to our Heavenly Father. And this passage shows us the beginning, the faltering, and the rededication of Abraham's faith. Notice in this text the response of Abraham's faith, and I will read verses 1 through 9. And now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And on you, in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And so Abraham went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abraham was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And Abraham took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions when they had gathered, that they had gathered, and the people that they had acquired in Haran. And they set out to go to the land of Canaan. And when they came to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land to the place at Shechem and to the oak of Moreh. And at that time the Canaanites were in the land. And when the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring I'll give this land, and so he built there an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he moved to the hill country to the east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. Abraham journeyed on, still going toward the Negev. Our Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew 9 verse 29 said, according to your faith be it done to you. Your faith matters. Your faith matters. Your faith is the difference between the infinite and the finite. Faith believes God, and in order to believe and trust God, you must hear from God. Genesis 12:1 says to us, now the Lord said to Abraham, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house into the land that I will show you. Notice that God spoke and Abraham responded. God speaks to us in his word. Do we respond to his word? Abraham responded, and that is faith. Therefore, faith is the proper response to the revelation of God. It is important to remember, there is no faith without the word of God. There is no faith without the word of God. There is no faith without a response to God. Three things you need to know about your faith. Faith isn't rooted in human motivation, as some would have you believe. Positive thinking isn't faith. There's nothing wrong with positive thinking. As a matter of fact, thinking positively is a positive thing. But positive thinking isn't faith. Consider Genesis 11 verse 4, just slightly before our passage. Then they said, come let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens. And let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth. So here we have the inhabitants of Babel. They were very motivated and positive in their thinking. But notice time after time, they made specific and determined statements based on their own motivation. And in the end, their motivation gained them absolutely nothing but confusion. Now compare that to what God said to Abraham. Now the Lord said to Abraham, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. God focused Abraham on all the things of God and away from all the things that gave security and comfort to people. God told Abram to leave his country, his family, his father's house, which was his future inheritance. And his land. God removed Abraham. Listen up, my dear brothers and sisters. God removed Abraham from everything that most people find motivating. Another thing to know about your faith is that faith isn't rooted in human merit. When God finished commanding Abraham, Abraham had nothing left to offer God. Absolutely nothing. The truth is that none of us have anything to offer God. Nothing to offer. We come to God knowing that nothing of this mortal life is of any value to God. So there's absolutely nothing we can offer Him. The Bible says in Romans 4 verses 3 through 5, that for what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Now to the one who works, his wages are not counted as a gift, but as his due. And to the one who does not work but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness. What else do you need to know about your faith? Faith is not rooted in human mentality. Abraham was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Faith doesn't always make sense. Faith isn't seeing your way clearly. And for many of us, we think we hear from God. We first look at our circumstances and consider whether it's practical for us or not. We consider our finances. We consider our circumstances. We consider our physical well-being. And then we count the cost. But faith hears God and responds. Faith hears God and responds. Abraham was 75 years old when God called him, and he faithfully responded to God. For most of us, and there's some of us here this morning, 75 is deemed beyond our usefulness in this world and in this life. Yet in the Bible, people are called out and used by God at a time and place in life when everyone seems to think nothing of importance can happen. Therefore, we must be reminded that faith is hearing. Faith is hearing your way clearly, not seeing your way clearly. In faith, one hears the promise or the word of God and responds. We call it obedience. But alas, we see Abraham slip in his faith. We see that he's doing what God has asked. In Genesis 12 verse 8, it says, "From there he moved to the hill country on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent. With Bethel on the west and Ai on the east, there he built an altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord." We see all that. Abraham was where God wanted him. Where God wanted him to be. And he was worshiping God. What happens? There's drought in the land. But then a famine comes and Abraham falters. Abraham hits a wobbly. Because of the famine, because of his difficulties, he goes down to Egypt. And Egypt in the Bible was always a type of the world. A type of temptation and potentially a type of sin. Isaiah 31 verse 1 has this to say, "Woe to those who go down to Egypt for help and rely on horses, who trust in chariots because they are many and in horsemen because they are very strong. But do not look to the Holy One of Israel or consult the Lord." Watch out for the temptation of turning to the world, my dear brothers and sisters, for help when things get tough. Watch out. Take heed. We have a few lessons and we can notice what led to Abram's faith faltering. The first thing, Abram's incomplete obedience. You see, it's all or nothing, my dear brothers and sisters. In verse 1, "And now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you." Two things to notice in Abraham's initial obedience. Abraham went halfway. He first went to Haran. That's not what the Lord said to him. He goes down to Haran to holiday, to sojourn.
with Dad. He was originally from Ur and initially went to dwell in Haran. But God wanted him to go to Canaan. There are many halfway Christians in our churches today. Halfway Christians are weak and faltering in their faith because they refuse to fully obey God. They're those who are halfway in their church attendance. Many will go to work with a cold but won't come to church with a snivel. They're halfway in their giving. They'll buy ice cream and latte but struggle to tithe. Halfway in their God and I time. They watch all kinds of programs and sport events, but they rarely read the Bible from cover to cover. Halfway in their service. They have time for camping and golfing and cycle rides, but rarely have time to sacrificially serve God. Abraham took some sin with him. Let's call it hangover sin. Notice what God's command was. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. Notice what Abram does. In verses 4 and 5, Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people they had acquired in Haran. And they set out to go to the land of Canaan. Without any doubt, we will see as we follow this passage that Lot and many others were a distraction. They were thorns, they were problems for Abraham. Friends, when you hang on to the hangovers of your unredeemed life and its sin, you will have problems in your spiritual walk. Not only did Abraham have incomplete obedience, he had incomplete observance. In verse 10, and there was famine in the land, and so Abraham went down to Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was severe in the land. Abraham had fallen into some difficulty and he took matters into his own hands. And he went down to Egypt, the place of sin. It's like us not trusting God and turning to man in our times of need. Why did Abraham turn to the world? Because Abraham doubted what God had said. God had promised to take care of Abraham. But when the difficulties came, Abraham, like us, doubted God. Someone has once said, don't doubt in the dark what God has said in the light. So he wasn't observing the word of God completely. He was strawberry picking. And as soon as the pawpaw hit the fan, Abraham got on his bicycle and he hightailed it for Egypt. And then we see Abraham wasn't completely honest. When he was about to enter Egypt, he said to Sarai, his wife, I know that you are a woman beautiful in appearance. And when the Egyptians see you, they will say, this is his wife, and they will kill me, and they will let you live. Say that you are my sister, that it may go well with me because of you, and that my life may be spared for your sake. Now here's the deal. Abraham didn't completely lie.
when he told this half-truth. Because Sarai was his half-sister. But she was his wife first. Abraham knew he was being deceptive by what he said. And notice what happened because of Abraham's half-lie. Verse 17, but the Lord afflicted Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abraham's wife. So Pharaoh called Abraham and said, what is this that you've done to me? Why did you not tell me that she was your wife? Why did you say she's my sister? So that I took her for my wife. Now then, here's your wife. Take her and go. Pharaoh gave men orders concerning him, and they sent him away with his wife and all that he had. A Christian out of fellowship with God is even sickening to man. When Abraham went into Egypt, he could have been a great testimony for God. But instead, he was sent away in shame. Christian, when you are faltering in your faith and purity, you become a hindrance to God's kingdom and his kingdom work. Keep your pencil sharp at all times. Consider for a moment the cost of Abraham's faltering faith. He lost time. While he was walking among the worldly Egyptians, he lost time in fellowship with God. Christian, when your faith falters, you're wasting precious time. Precious time walking in and serving our Heavenly Father. He also lost testimony. His testimony and reputation was completely blown out of the water by his own downward spiral into worldliness. So what did he gain? Because he certainly gained a whole bunch. Well, he gained wealth. Now, Abraham was very rich in livestock in silver and in gold, in the second verse of chapter 13. Before Abraham went down to Egypt, he only had sheep and goats. And while he was in Egypt, he gained cattle, in verse 5. And cattle, anybody that's a farmer around here or knows anything about that, are very different than sheep. It takes more pasture to feed cattle than it does sheep. And these cattle became a thorn to Abraham. It caused the land war between Abraham and Lot. It became the fall of Lot. And be sure that when one falters in faith and obedience to God and turns to the world, that the world will give you things that will hinder your godliness and your relationship with the Lord. Abraham also gained a woman. Chapter 16, 1, Hagar. Now Sarai, Abraham's wife, had borne him no children. She had a female Egyptian servant whose name was Hagar. And we recall the result of all that. But there's good news. There's good news because Abraham returns. The return of Abraham's faith. In chapter 13, verses 1 through 4. So Abraham went up from Egypt, and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him, and into the Negev. Now Abraham was very rich in livestock, in silver and in gold. And he journeyed on from the Negev. as far as Bethel, to the place where his tent had been in the beginning, at the beginning, between Bethel and Ai, to the place where he had made an altar at the first. And there Abraham called upon the name of the Lord. Bethel means house of God. And Abraham came out of Egypt, or out of the land of sin. And after Abraham had faltered in his faith for a while, he came back to the house of God and re-established his relationship with his heavenly Father. Christian, Christian, have you faltered in your faith? You too can repent and return. You too can repent and return. How? Well, let's take a lesson from Abraham. He did three things in rededicating himself to God. Firstly, we learn about his separation. So Abraham went up from Egypt. He turned his back on the world, the picture of sin. Abraham returned to the Lord. He came up out of Egypt, or out of the world, and here's what our Lord Jesus Christ says. He says in John 6, verse 24, "No one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other." You cannot serve God and money. Indeed, Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 6, verses 17 through 18, "Therefore go out from their midst and be separate from them, says the Lord, and touch no unclean things. Then I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty." The world will pull you away from God and away from the things of God. You must. It's absolutely imperative. You must separate yourself from the things of this world if you will be strong in your faith and your walk with God. Another thing Abraham did was... let's speak about his sanctification, the cleanup process. In verse 3 of the 13th chapter, he journeyed from the Negev as far as Bethel to a place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Ai. He went back to where God wanted him. He returned. This deals with what you do and the will of God for you. Do you do what you do because it is what you want to do, or what God wants you to do? Jesus said in John 14:15, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." If you love me, you will keep my commandments. It seems that for many in our day, disobedience is a matter of convenience and desire. If God commands us, if God's commands are in keeping with what they want and what they feel, they have what they have time for, then they will obey. Sanctification deals with getting yourself in alignment with God, regardless of its personal cost. And the third thing Abraham done in rededicating himself to God was Abraham's sacrifice. In verse 4, "To the place where he had made an altar at first, and there Abraham called upon the name of the Lord." Notice the altar. Abraham worshipped God again.
Abraham worshipped God again. And he worshipped God God's way. That's very important. And if you take anything away here this morning, worship God God's way. Are you worshiping God's way? Are you worshiping the highway? Or are you worshiping my way? Your way? Well, I want to tell you, if you're doing that, you're worshiping halfway. Worship God God's way. Come, let's pray.
Gracious Father, oh sovereign God, oh have mercy on us, Lord. Lord, we are such wretched beings. And Lord, by your grace, it is only by your grace, Lord, that we can stand before you. Oh Lord, such heinous things we capable of, Lord. Lord, yet you love your people, Lord. And sometimes we stumble, Lord. Sometimes we struggle. Lord, all the darts of the world of the enemy. Sometimes we stumble and succumb, Lord. Oh, gracious Father, teach us to love your word. Teach us to know your character through your word, Lord. Oh, Lord. What a Father. What a Savior. And Lord, such an encouragement that you never left us as orphans. That we belong, Lord. That we are under the conviction of your Spirit, Lord. May we be true and faithful. Lord, as the day approaches, may we end well. We thank you, Lord. Oh, Lord, that we may be more obedient and that we can take a page from Abraham. That we may call upon you, Lord, in the dark times. That we may grow in the sunshine, so that when these dark times arrive, Lord, we can press on and be strong. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.